It is now 23 minutes past seven. Growing numbers of very vulnerable children in England are being detained in temporary accommodation under what are called deprivation of liberty orders, which have been described as draconian by a senior judge. In a rare move, the BBC's been given access to court proceedings and to the documents which reveal the everyday impact these orders have on vulnerable young people. Sancha Berg now reports.
She's an exceptionally intelligent and articulate 15-year-old, according to professionals. She has autism, she's self-harmed, she's very vulnerable. For the last 11 months, she's been in care. And what's happened to the girl we have to call FJ highlights a crisis that's largely hidden from view.
FJ needs clarity of expectations and planning to minimise her feelings of anxiety and insecurity.
At first, FJ was in a placement registered with Ofsted, but that broke down after she tried to commit suicide. Her local authority, the City of York, has tried hard to find her a safe home. They contacted 225 other placements, but none would take her. So instead, the council put FJ in a holiday cottage, with staff supervising her round the clock, then moved her to a secure children's home. She got better, so the council moved her out to another property with qualified staff, but it is some way from her family and friends. The plan is for her to move again soon, but the dates keep changing.
FJ finds it incredibly difficult when she is not told about changes before they happen or given any explanation about why there is delay.
Four, possibly five different homes in a year is unsettling enough, but the current arrangement for FJ risks being unlawful too, which worries her further. Neither her present nor future home is registered with Ofsted, which since last September has been a legal requirement for children under 16. For her safety and for her current placement to be lawful, the High Court has to issue a deprivation of liberty order. The judge in FJ's case described these as draconian. They can confine a teenager to one property, sometimes ban contact with their families, or allow them to be sedated. For FJ, it means she's supervised by two members of staff night and day, and she can't go out on her own or meet friends without an adult. With uncertainty and delay, FJ feels the local authority is, in her words, just not bothering, and that makes her feel very anxious, frustrated, and out of control.
Matters such as this can lead FJ to find it more difficult to regulate her emotions, increasing the risk to herself, such as self-injury through cutting, biting, misuse of medication or running away.
Well before the law changed in September, there was already a stark rise in cases like FJ's. Data from the Court Advisory Service CAFCAS shows the number of applications for these orders for under-18s rose almost sevenfold in just 3 years and is still going up. The trend alarms the regulator, Ofsted. Yvette Stanley is their Director of Social Care.
With the increasing numbers of children coming into the system in their late teens with these levels of needs, it really is very worrying that the provision is just not there to meet those needs, and yes, it does leave children exposed to a risk of serious harm.
The change in the law is likely to mean that number increases again, according to Charlotte Ramsden, president of the Association of Directors of Children's Services, or ADCS.
So you can say you can't do something, but it's effectively like closing the safety valve on a pressure cooker that's being heated. It's going to explode. And it explodes when we get these crisis placements going into court or crisis placements where we're putting children in Airbnb or holiday lets because we have nowhere else to put them. No one will take them.
More teenagers are coming into care and more like FJ who have problems with their mental health or those who are vulnerable to criminal exploitation. Places with these deprivation of liberty orders often cost councils £10,000 per child per week, something Charlotte Ramsden said was unsustainable.
And there has to be some shared responsibility here across health and social care, because even though these children aren't mentally ill, they are mentally unwell. And surely there is a joint responsibility for looking at both effective prevention, but then effective provision where children need a different type of solution. And that needs to be jointly funded, but also jointly delivered to get the right mix of staff and support for children.
The Department for Education told us that it was up to councils to provide suitable, safe accommodation for vulnerable children in their care, and that the Chancellor had announced significant investment to help them. But time and again, the judges in the High Court have highlighted the lack of places right now to keep these children safe. As for FJ, A local authority told the court they've made actual and measurable steps towards Ofsted registration. The case will be back in the High Court soon.
Sancha Berg reporting there. It's now 28 minutes past seven. Time for the sport with Kathy. I'm hoping we're going to gloss over yesterday in the T20 cricket.